let's pray again, just one more time. Dear Father, we come to you grateful for your mercy. We come to you humble people, knowing that you have made a way for us. Father, we're grateful that you sent your Son, that he would live and die. And as we're in this Christmas season, we're grateful for his birth, that he didn't come down as a 33-year-old man, but he came down as a child, humble, and he grew and he learned, and he showed us what it looked like to be human in relationship to you and to others. And today, as we read about an old ancestor in Ruth and Naomi and Boaz, we pray, Lord, that we would have that on our mind, that the story of Mary giving birth to Jesus happens because of your sustaining grace to bring a child from Ruth, a widow, and Boaz, an older man, and that you have even redeemed Naomi and Elimelech's line. So we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, my wife and I had Grayson over to watch The Goblet of Fire, and I learned that Grayson has never seen Harry Potter. He's never read the books, right? Yeah, he's never read any of the books. And we could have started with the first movie, but I really didn't want to do that. So I gave him a 90-second summary of all three of the first movies. That was hard, and Grayson was lost a little bit. But if you are new to the Book of Ruth, you just need a refresher. Here's my best 90-second summary. Let's go. So the story of Ruth and Naomi, it begins with a series of tragic events. Naomi leaves her home during a famine with her husband and two sons, and her sons marry. And then tragically, over the course of 10 years, Naomi loses her husband. He dies. And then she loses her two sons. And then Naomi receives word that the famine is over. And she returns home with her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Now they're both widowed. And Naomi says this of her bitter experience, found in chapter 1. She says, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." And so when Ruth and Naomi arrive in Bethlehem, probably tired, probably hungry, Ruth sets out to go find food. She starts to work in some fields. And Joshua covered this last week, and we learned that God's hand was over the entire situation, the entire encounter where Ruth would meet Boaz, a kinsman redeemer, a family redeemer from the line of Elimelech, and related to Naomi's late husband. And there seems to be a sense of joy when the story turns from Ruth needing to provide for herself and Naomi to survive to God using Boaz to fill their bellies and abundantly care for these widows. And so our story today picks up, and the harvest is over. And now Naomi has a faith-filled plan of action. We're going to see that this plan is rooted in an understanding of God's character to redeem bitterness to joy. We'll see Ruth's humble obedience to enact the plan. And then finally, we'll see Boaz demonstrate sacrificial loyalty. Instead of being given a command that we should be faithful people in the midst of a bitter season, we're given three characters. One story, three characters of people who demonstrate their faith in the midst of this bitter and empty season, ultimately showing us God's plan for redemption. So we're in Ruth chapter 3, and we're going to read this whole text. All right. So Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I find rest for you so that you will be taken well care of? Now, isn't Boaz our relative? Haven't you been working with his female servants? This evening, he will be winnowing barley on the threshing floor. Wash, put on your perfumed oil, and wear your best clothes. Go down to the threshing floor, but don't let the man know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. And when he lies down, notice the place where he is lying. Go in and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will explain to you what you should do." So Ruth said to her, "I will do everything you say." So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything that her mother-in-law charged her to do. And after Boaz ate and drank and was in good spirits, he went to lie down at the end of the pile of barley. And she came to him secretly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. And at midnight, Boaz was startled, turned over, and was there, and there was lying a woman. So he asked, "Who are you?" "I am Ruth, your servant," she replied. "Take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer." Then he said, "May the Lord bless you, my daughter. You have shown more kindness now than before, because you have not pursued younger men, whether rich or poor. Now don't be afraid, my daughter. I will do for you what you say, since all the people in my town know that you are a woman of noble character. Yes, it is true that I am a family redeemer, but there is a family redeemer closer than I am. Stay here tonight, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem you, let him. That is good. But if he doesn't want to redeem you, as the Lord lives, I will. Now lie down until morning." So she lay down at his feet until morning, but got up while it was still dark. Then Boaz said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." And he told Ruth, "Bring your shawl you're wearing and hold it out." And she went and held it out, and he shoveled 6 measures of barley into her shawl. And she went into town. And when her mother-in-law Naomi saw her, she asked her, "What happened, my daughter?" Then Ruth told her everything that the man had done for her. She said, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley because he said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi said, "My daughter, wait until you find out how these things will go, for he will not rest until he resolves them this day." One story, 3 characters, 3 lessons for us. Naomi shows us faith-filled action. Ruth shows us humble obedience. And Boaz shows us sacrificial loyalty. Faith-filled action, humble obedience, and sacrificial loyalty. As I mentioned at the end of Ruth chapter 2, we're given this transitional statement that Ruth stayed close to Boaz's female servants and gathered grain until the barley and wheat harvest was finished. So in chapter 3, where we are today, the harvest is over. And now it's time to celebrate. The season of hard work is over, and so now Boaz and his crew, they get to enjoy the fruit of their labor. Naomi shows us faith-filled action. Consider Naomi's situation. In chapter 1, she describes a feeling of emptiness. In chapter 2, God shows us that he fills her belly with grain, but her future is still empty. She's experienced the kindness of Boaz to provide food so that her life isn't over. It's not hard. But if this is all there is, then Naomi is still quite empty. No family to come home for Christmas. No husband to provide. No children to continue her legacy. And even consider this, that the company that Naomi does have, Ruth, she's a constant reminder of her loss. So that's Naomi's situation. She's relationally empty. Yet Naomi knows that she has a redeeming God. We're given a taste of this in chapter 2, verse 20. Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "May the Lord bless him, because he has not abandoned his kindness to the living or the dead." Naomi continued, "This man is a close relative. He is one of our family redeemers." So how are you doing today? Maybe you feel empty. Maybe you're just feeling overwhelmed or weighed down. When you think about your circumstances, you feel bitter. You have a family member who's about to die, and you don't know if they're a believer. Maybe you have a relationship, a family relationship that's on the rocks, and maybe this Christmas season isn't a time of joy, but it's a time of sorrow. And I know that here at Round Community Church, just even in our prayer time today, that bitterness has touched all of us. But maybe for you, it's not relational, it's financial. Maybe you wish that you had a Boaz to provide for your every need. You wish that you had a Boaz who would make sure that you were always full, that you had the nice things, but you're just struggling to put food on the table. Maybe you had a dream for your life. It was go to this college, get that degree, marry that person, have that home, have that family, have children, but you're left empty. You may not be a widow like Naomi or Ruth. You may not have lost a child, but your heart is empty and it's bitter. And you don't see a way out. And I don't assume that we're going to figure out everything here today. But I want to remind you that God does not forget his people. In chapter 1, Naomi speaks of God having left her bitter and empty. That's how she feels. And now, at the end of chapter 2, Naomi is declaring God's faithfulness. So what changed? What changed the situation from emptiness to full, from bitter to joy? A family redeemer has stepped in. What does that term mean? I don't think we have that concept of a family redeemer in our society. So while we don't have it, I do think that we can learn from it. We can learn of the one who protects and preserves the honor and the dignity of the clan, of the extended family member. And a family redeemer, as Naomi sees it, is someone who is related to Elimelech, Naomi's late husband, the one who died in Moab. A family redeemer like Boaz could redeem her situation, could take and provide for those of Elimelech's household if anything happens to her. So essentially, a family redeemer is the social safety net of Israel at the time. But it's not just that it's a cultural norm. It's also something that God has commanded. And Naomi recognized that Boaz that Boaz is a family redeemer, that he's already provided for Ruth and Naomi in their bellies. He's made sure that they have enough to eat. But Naomi also knows that if Elimelech, or if Boaz chooses to, he can redeem Elimelech's land and his lineage. So while this might sound complicated, sounds a little weird, we don't have this, a family redeemer can marry his a widow, he can marry his brother's widow and give him children so that the family can continue. But think about who Naomi is. She's an older woman. We've already sort of seen, like, she can't have children. And even if she was, Ruth isn't going to wait around for 15 to 20 years. So in Naomi's mind here, it's time for faith-filled action. Instead of Naomi being the one to marry Boaz, it's Ruth. So she tells Ruth, it's time. Look at verse 1 with me. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, "My daughter, shouldn't I find rest for you so that you will be taken care of? Isn't Boaz our relative?" We see in chapter 1 that Ruth says something really similar to Orpah and to Ruth. She says, "May the Lord grant each of you rest in the house of a new husband." So clearly Naomi is telling Ruth, "You have been loyal to me. Now it's my turn to go and find you a husband so that you'll find rest." And her choice of a husband for Ruth is Boaz. And that is not a random choice. That's not a mistake. He's one of the family redeemers. So in verse 3, she says, "Wash, put on perfumed oil, and wear your best clothes." So just some context here. It is likely that Ruth has been wearing her mourning clothing. Not in the mourning, but her husband died, and so she is grieving the loss of her husband. And so when Ruth and Boaz interact, Boaz sees her, but when he sees her, her appearance indicates that she is not available. So now Naomi tells Ruth to go get herself ready, to go clean up, take off your clothes in mourning, to wash yourself, to put perfumed oil. She's saying, get ready for Boaz. Be ready to be pursued for marriage. But not only this, don't just wait for Boaz to pursue you, but go and pursue Boaz. She's telling her to go to the celebration at the harvest, to lay at his feet. And that's a weird thing. It's a weird custom to us, but it's a place where the wife would sit. It's where she would sleep. So essentially, Naomi is telling Ruth, don't wait for Boaz to pursue you. Go and propose marriage to him. So you might think that Naomi's a meddling mother. You might think that she's trying to tell her, like, go and take this on your own plan and your own accord. But that's not Ruth. That's not Naomi. She's a woman whose faith led to action. She knows God's promises. She knows God's word to redeem people, to redeem women like her in her situation, to have a hope and a future. And so, like Naomi, full of faith in the midst of a bitter season, we too can cling to God's word and his promises. Let's turn now to our story in Ruth, where we see Ruth show humble obedience. Our story moves from Naomi's home to Ruth and Boaz at the threshing floor. And while we see that Naomi told Ruth to do these things and Ruth does them exactly, we see that she waits for Boaz to fall asleep. she uncovers his feet and she lays there. Like we mentioned earlier, this is a place for the wife to sleep. So she's proposing. She looks clean, she smells clean, and when Boaz sees her, he's startled, yes, but he knows exactly what she's asking. He knows exactly what she's asking him to do. But think about who Ruth is. She's an ethnic outsider. She's a cultural outsider. She's a religious outsider. She's a widowed woman from Moab. And so everything about her screams outsider. And yet it's Ruth, the cultural outsider, who clings to Naomi. She shows great loyalty to Naomi's God, to Naomi's family, and to Naomi's future. As a religious outsider, we don't see that she knows very much about God. She doesn't have a robust theology. But what she does know, she probably learned either from Naomi as they're traveling back from Moab, or probably from the women in the field that she's been with. But in this moment, we see Ruth declare these words to Boaz. In verse 9, I am Ruth, your servant. Take me under your wing, for you are a family redeemer. And if that sounds familiar, those words, take me under your wing, it's because in chapter 2, verse 12, we hear those words, under your wings, echoed in Boaz's words, where he says, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. And so I was thinking about this the other day, yesterday, in the car with the Stones and their many children. And I was thinking about what it looks like to take someone under your wings. I was thinking about a father who brings his child close to him, takes them under his wings. Yes, he's teaching them. He's telling them how to live life. He's mentoring them. But it's also more than that. It's a relational closeness. It's an idea of a father bringing his child close to him, putting his arms around him, and protecting them. And so we see Ruth say this to Boaz, put your wings over me. Take me under your wing. You are a family redeemer. We see Ruth's humble faith here. She may not have been born into the right family. She may not know everything, but she speaks these true words. She's calling for Boaz to fulfill his duty as a family redeemer and to care for Naomi and for her future. Like God, who protects his people, who takes his children under his wing and is a fortress and a refuge for them, so too is Boaz called to reflect that love and that image, to image that kind of character. So who would have guessed? Who would you have guessed at the beginning of this story, at the beginning of Ruth, who would you have guessed that would have made the greatest gospel kingdom impact? Would you have guessed two widows? Would you have guessed faith-filled Naomi and humbly obedient Ruth? According to worldly standards, that doesn't make sense. It would have made more sense for God to use women from a strong Jewish line. It would have made more sense for someone who's not a widow to bring about redemption. But yet God uses two widows. One, an ethnic and religious outsider, and the other, a widow, to bring about a story of hope, of faith, and a story of redemption. And I want you to consider your own calling. To be honest, in here, I really hope no one takes offense to this, but none of us here are of high esteem. Not many of us are wealthy or rich. We don't have the most influence even in our own small community. According to worldly standards, it would have made more sense for God to call Governor Bashir to to plant a church in Moorhead. It would have made more sense for some rich people to come here, some people with power and influence, to make Round Community Church what it is. But God didn't do that. He chose us, humble people, that He chooses to work His plans of redemption for Brown County. So when we go through this bitter season, what does it look like to be like Ruth? If we're called to learn from Ruth's humble obedience, it might be that we look at ourselves and we remember our own calling. We remember that God uses humble people, not of high esteem, that He chose us and that we didn't choose Him, that He's a refuge for His people. He takes them under His wing. It would look like remaining faithfully obedient to our calling. When it would have been easy for Ruth to think of her own self-interest, she could have had a husband by now, but she thinks of Naomi's future. If we were to consult with...
Thank you.